You're listening to a Crossroads original podcast.
Welcome to the 100 Huntley Street podcast. I am your host today, Laura Watson. Well, I am so glad you're joining me right now, and I am so excited about our conversation today together and with Pastor John Burke. He is a near-death experience expert. So those are called NDEs for short. What makes him an expert? Well, he started out a skeptic. He started out not knowing who God was, and his father had a journey with illness, cancer. You know, Pastor John Burke, he came across, at that stage, you know, John came across some stories of near-death experiences and started to explore this. At this stage, he's studied over 1,000 near-death experiences. What's interesting is that those experiences that John Burke has studied, every single one of them has to be documented. Like, that event, that person's near-death experience, is documented externally by someone in the medical community, by scientists. It's not just somebody saying, you know, I was in my bed and I think I died and I had a visitation in heaven or anything like that. What they are is they're documented. They're scientifically proven cases of people dying for 30 minutes, 15 minutes, longer, and coming back to life. Now, many of these people throughout John's studies actually didn't follow Jesus when they died. They were often people who had a lot to lose had they chosen to follow Jesus. But they come back from this experience, and they do. They follow Jesus. This is what starts to happen as a result. So we have people in this book that John's released. There's 70 near-death experiences that he covers. And this new book that we're going to be talking about with him today is Imagine the God of Heaven. And so in these 70 experiences, he goes over, I mean, these are people who are from the Jewish community, where their community might sit Shiva for them, which means hold a funeral for them if they come to faith in Jesus. There are people who are Hindus. They are very wealthy business people, people that actually experience a lot of ridicule and rejection once they come back from their near-death experience and say, you know what, I encountered not only God, but the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And the Bible, a lot of biblical truth comes out. They have visions of heaven. They walk down, you know, beautiful streets of gold. It's incredible, the stories in this book. You know, I'm excited about the conversation with John Burke because he is very analytical and he is very objective and he's very, very much a scientific mind. And yet he's got all this evidence and all this information. And what he wants us to get a picture of is the God of heaven. You know, who is the God of heaven? Who is the God that is meeting these people in this book? And these are like 70 real life stories that literally your jaw is dropped as you read them. I mean, we can't keep this book on the shelves in 100 Huntley Street or Crossroads. Everybody wants to be reading these books. You know, there's commonalities in all the stories. It's the person of Jesus. It's this love of God. It's this ripple effect of God's love. It's these distinct messages that are incredibly personal to the person who has died that only they would understand. Like, you know, they always smelled lilacs going into their grandmother's home, and suddenly it smelled like lilacs in the room as they started to go to heaven, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's amazing to think about how personal God is, how much he loves us, and how real what the Bible is saying about heaven, the reality of following Jesus, and that there is an eternal life for us that we can't even imagine. So I want you to listen to this podcast with a conversation with John, because it will stoke your interest in heaven and it will stoke your faith. It will really, really bring it alive. And it may give you more questions. But you know, if you would, you know, want to get the book, Imagine the God of Heaven, I know it would really be an encouragement to you. You can go to crossroads.ca/heaven to get the book, actually. And you can also just get it wherever great books are sold and have it delivered to you. So we're just so thankful, you know, that you're listening right now. I'm so thankful for this conversation with John Burke. I know it's a very moving conversation, and I'm really, really excited for you to tune into it. You know, if you have a loved one who has passed on and you're aching for their connection and you are wondering about heaven, and maybe you're wondering about heaven for yourself, this is the podcast for you. This is the conversation to be listening to. It is going to encourage you, and I know that it will be a healing balm to your soul and to your questions. You'll get some answers, not all the answers, but some answers and some direction, some pointers to how true the Bible is and what it has to say about the reality of heaven, and that you are, you know, you're not you know, that old saying, right? You're not a body with a soul. You're a soul with a body. You are a soul. You are created by a God who loves you, who designed you, who has a purpose for your life, and who wants you to live in unity with Him here on earth and in eternity. And in eternity is where we see perfect love. We see peace. We see the lion lying down with the lamb. We see everything that our hearts long for and desire here on earth, all the justice, all of the joy, all of the unity. It is there in heaven. All right, now I've got you excited, so I want you to listen in on this conversation with John Burke. It'll be right after this. Over 1 million people in the world have had near-death experiences. So what do near-death experiences tell us about God, ourselves, and the universe? Joining me now to share some life-changing insights is John Burke, New York Times best-selling author of Imagine the God of Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Revelation, and the Love You've Always Wanted. Welcome back to 100 Huntley Street, John.
Oh, thanks for having me, Laura.
Well, we're so thrilled you're joining us today. And I know some of our viewers have probably heard about near-death experiences, but might even be wondering, what qualifies as a near-death experience? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the ones I've tried to study are when people clinically die. So their heart stops beating, brain waves cease. And yet when modern medicine resuscitates them or miracle brings them back, because sometimes minutes, sometimes hours later, and yet they talk about how they were more alive than they've ever been in this life in a place more beautiful than Earth has ever been, not unlike Earth, but just colors beyond our color spectrum and beauty, just they don't have words. And in the presence of a God of light and love who they just never wanted to leave. A love they say our word love just doesn't do justice. And so they come back and there are commonalities all around the globe, and I've studied thousands of them now from every continent on earth, and yet they consistently say similar overlapping things. And my interest has always been to show how the commonalities of what they're saying aligns with what God's been revealing through the Bible for thousands of years now.
That's incredible. And John, you know, you've written two books on this subject. So your first book, Imagine Heaven, detailing near-death experiences, and now Imagine the God of Heaven, where you're studying 70 near-death experiences that people have had. You know, you've studied over 1,000 people who have had near-death experiences overall, and you've used your skill as someone who's very analytical mm-hmm. and logically minded to do that. Tell us a bit about your journey of getting into the study of near-death experiences, where you came from and how you got to where you are.
Well, I was agnostic when I first encountered these, and I was trained as an engineer. I worked as an engineer. So my mind has always been skeptical and analytical, as you said. But my dad was dying of cancer, and someone gave him the very first research that coined the term near-death experience. And I saw it on his bedside table and started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. Because I'd always wanted to know, you know, I thought Jesus was a legend. God probably didn't exist because no one could give me evidence. And here was evidence. I mean, there were about 100 people who were claiming the same kind of experience, and it made me say, maybe this afterlife God Jesus stuff is real. So that opened me up to explore, and I started reading the Bible after that and came to faith in Jesus. But for the past 35 years, I've been trying to understand, okay, how do these near-death experiences align or misalign with the Bible? And that's been my, you know, 35 years in studying well over 1,000 of them. And I'm convinced more than ever that it's incredible evidence that God is real, that God has been revealing himself as the God of all nations mm-hmm. all along, and that his love and his grace, I think he's raising up these right now as testimonies that he is the God who offers love and grace and forgiveness to all people of all nations. We were all made to be his children, to come home to him.
Oh, that's so good. And, you know, you mentioned you're looking for that thread of biblical truth throughout the near-death experiences that you're studying, but you're also seeing commonalities. What are some of the commonalities? Can you give us some examples of those in some of the stories?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people typically, when they die, they leave their body, but they say they still have a spiritual body. So just like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, I think Paul may have had a near-death experience when in Acts 14 in Lystra, he got stoned to death, dragged out of town as dead, and then gets up and goes back into the city, which I would not have done. And later in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, 14 years ago, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Why? Well, because we still have a spiritual body. And he said, I was taken up into heaven and I saw and heard things inexpressible. So maybe those two connect. And people commonly say the things that Paul describes as well. He said, our bodies are buried in brokenness, but raised in power. Mm. Well, near-death experiencers talk about how they leave their bodies, but they feel more alive. Not just with five senses, more like 50 senses. Mm. And then they travel usually. Sometimes it's through a tunnel, but sometimes it's just out through the universe. Many times accompanied by angels, they find out are their guardian angel or angels. And they come to this place of exquisite beauty, not unlike the beauty of earth, but light that is love and life coming out of everything, out of the trees, out of the birds, out of the flowers, even out of the people. And many people don't realize, but this is in the Bible as well. You know, in Isaiah chapter 60, in Revelation 21, it says, there's no sun or moon in heaven because God is its light. The glory of God is its light. Jesus, the Lamb, is its lamp, and the nations will walk in that light. Mm. And Jesus said in Matthew 13, and then the righteous will shine like the stars in their Father's kingdom forever. And what it turns out that I show in my books is that this light is the light of God that is the glory of God, which is love and life, all is one, and it comes out of everything. It gives life to everything. And so that's part of, I think, of the reward we get to share in, that we get to experience something of the life and the love of God coming out through us, maybe in proportion to how much we let it show in this life. I don't know.
That's beautiful. You know, John, you know, in Imagine the God of Heaven, there are so many stories, 70 stories of people who have had near-death experiences. And I can't help but wonder, you know, as before I started reading a lot of these stories, would these people have considered themselves spiritual or followers of Jesus before they died? Or tell us a little bit more about some of those stories and if these people were quite spiritual prior to their passing for those moments of their near-death experience.
Yeah, because I really see this as evidence. I mean, almost like proof of God's existence because many of them did not expect the God they discovered. Mm. And so I'm showing 70 people from every continent. Santosh was a Hindu, grew up Hindu, he's a manufacturing engineer. Code blue, his heart stops. He said, this brilliant God of light that he knew was a divine light comes and takes him on this journey. And he said, I fell in love with this light. Mm. And then the light stops over what he ends up describing to me as this giant square-shaped compound with high walls and 12 beautiful gates. He counted them, he said. And he had no biblical knowledge, but he is exactly describing Revelation 21, where John sees the holy city of God. And then he sees God Almighty on his throne. And though those 12 gates were closed to him, a very narrow gate that is open into the kingdom of heaven, and he longed to go in. Mm. And he comes back seeking this God that he said was not like the gods he had learned about. This God was love and compassion and mercy, even though he saw his life review and he saw all his sins and he saw, I'm guilty. And yet God offered him forgiveness and mercy as he cried out to him. So there's story after story like that. He comes back and he starts reading the Bible and he said, everything I experienced was in here, and became a follower of Jesus.
Wow.
But when you have Bibi in Tehran, who experiences the same God that Santosh did, who says to her, I am he who is, which is exactly what this God of brilliant light said to Moses on Mount Sinai, right?
Yes.
I am the I am, the God who is and was. And then Swadik, an imam in Rwanda.
A Muslim imam.
A Muslim imam dies of blood cancer. And his mother was desperate. The Muslims had prayed and didn't heal him. She went to her family goddess, Baco, couldn't heal him. Finally, she goes to the Christians at the Anglican church to pray in Jesus' name. And she's praying in Jesus' name. And Swedik actually starts off in this hellish place, but into it comes this man of light, he said, brighter than the sun. But he's wearing a robe and he holds out his hands, and Swedik sees holes in his hands. And he had seen the Passion of the Christ when it came to Rwanda. And so he said, I knew who this was. And he said to him, I died for mankind. You are among those I died for. Never deny it and tell it to everyone.
Wow.
Swedik wakes up. He comes to at his burial saying, Jesus has brought me back. He brought me back. And all these Muslims just freak out, yeah. Right? But today, Swedik has had, he's an Anglican pastor, and he's had 7 attempts on his life because he will not shut up about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I have 70 stories like this from every continent of people who should not have encountered this God of light and love who they discovers to be one with Jesus. Even like a 16-year-old Jewish girl who was told that Jesus is the biggest hoax ever. But when her horse lands on her and she finds herself dead, 30 feet up above her body, a brilliant light over her shoulder, she looks and she said, there was Jesus and I knew him. And so again and again, and then Jesus takes her to the Father. So she, as a 16-year-old girl, experiences the triune God. She had no biblical knowledge about that or understanding.
No, and indeed, even in the Jewish culture, often if you convert out, which is what they would consider that, they would sit Shiva for you, hold a funeral for you. So she's risking so much by even coming back and saying, I encountered Jesus.
And that's what I'm trying to point out. That's why I think this is such incredible evidence that there is only one God, and this God has always had a plan for all nations. So he's not just the Christian North American God, he is the God of all people. And that's what I'm trying to show as well, that he is loving beyond what we can even, I mean, I interviewed this one neurologist, psychiatrist who was stabbed 13 times. He showed me the stab wounds, the scars in his neck. One of his patients had a psychotic break and turned on him. And he talked about how this brilliant God of light appeared to him. He said it would be like standing 5 feet from a nuclear explosion. That's what the power of this light was. But he said, but what was even more powerful was the love. And he described, he said, this love, our word love just doesn't even compare. He said, you know, take all the loves you've ever experienced, put them into one point in time, and then multiply it by millions. And that's the love God has for you. And it's a unique love. You know, that's the other thing, Laura, that interviewing CEOs and doctors and lawyers, and these are people who had a lot to lose making up wild stories about dying and seeing God.
Right, yeah.
But consistently they say it was the most real thing in their lives. And consistently they say, you know, when I was with him, and they would say like, I knew it wasn't true, but I felt like I was the only one he loved. Like I was his unique child. And this is something that I think people just don't understand is that, you know, we who know Jesus sometimes think we know God.
Yeah.
But we all put God in a box. We're finite. We have to. God is so much greater than we've ever imagined, but he's also so much more relatable and personable and gets us and even fun and enjoyable. So, you know, that hits the walls of a lot of people's box. God, fun? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who do we think created us to be able to enjoy life and have fun?
Yeah, if we're made in his image and we can have fun and laugh.
Why would we think he's less than us?
And I show it. More fun.
And in the book, I show it through the eyes of these people.
Yeah.
But you know, many times we just don't realize this is what God's revealed about himself. Jesus last night on earth, you know, he said, I've told you these things so that my joy would be in you. And your joy would overflow. And when people are in the presence of God, they do experience this overflowing joy.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, John, I know so many of our viewers are stirred up right now because it's really exciting and it's insightful what you're sharing about these experiences people are having with God when they have near-death experiences and they come back. And we're touching on love and you know, this incredible essence of who God is. Of course, a lot of our viewers watching, you know, they are praying grandparents and mothers and fathers. And in your book, you touch on some of these prayers that mothers have prayed for their sons and the difference it made as their sons experienced near-death experiences.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the power of prayer, and I know it will motivate us to keep praying.
Yeah. Yeah, this was one of the things. There were many things that kind of shocked me, and, you know, I wasn't expecting, but interviewing so many of the people, when you see a consistency, then you kind of go like, wow, okay. And one of them is that prayer is tangible in heaven. So many of them talked about how they saw the prayers. In some cases, like Jim Woodford, a Canadian commercial airline pilot who didn't know God, when he died, he cried out in the last minute, but his wife was praying for his salvation. And when she heard, when the Canadian Royal Mounted Police came and told him that he's dead, she gathered with six of her family members. They held hands and they prayed. Well, at that moment, Jim had been rescued because he had cried out to God last minute. And he was there in heaven and he looked up in the sky and he saw six streaks of light going up. And he said to the angel, "What are those?" And the angel said, "Those, Jim, are the prayers of your family for your salvation right now going to the throne of God." And, you know, Laura, it's amazing, but in the book, there are three other men who died, who, and they died and their mothers had been praying for their salvation, but they didn't know. One of them was Ian, a surfer, who died from box jellyfish stinging him. And as he was in the ambulance, his mother was in New Zealand and woke up in the middle of the night, pray for Ian, he's in trouble. And she's on her knees praying. And Ian is thinking, "I'm dying, you know, what should I do?" And he heard, "Pray to God." And he's like, "I don't believe in God." "What God?" "You know, Buddha, Kali." What? And then he thought, you know, "Well, my mom prayed to Jesus." And he said, "Well, I don't even know what to pray." And the words of his mother started coming back, praying the Lord's Prayer. And when he got then, he had a near-death experience, and there he was in the presence of this brilliant God of light who he realized was Jesus. He found out it was at that moment that God washed him clean of all his wrongs, all his sins. Mm. And, you know, another one who died in a guy who died in a drug overdose, and his mother had been praying for him. And he's in a hellish experience. So hellish experiences are just as encountered as heavenly ones,
yeah,
in these near-death experiences. But God is merciful and he hears our cries. And Ivan said he was in this hellish experience when he hears a booming voice say, "Release him, it is not his time. His mother has been praying for him. She's prayed over 20,000 prayers for him. You must let him go."
Well, it definitely makes me emotional, John, as a mom of two sons, and they've both given their hearts to the Lord, but you know what? I can't help but think of the other moms who are on those journeys praying for their kids, and it's incredible when we think about the role we can play in helping people come to faith in Jesus and changing their reality.
Well, and you know, I think about myself as a skeptic on the other side listening to this, and I'd be going like, "Oh, whatever," yeah, you know, I would. But that's why in the book, I tried to show you the evidence, because yeah, then you start to realize, wow, okay, God is far greater than I ever imagined.
Yes.
You know, we say, how could he hear billions of prayers? Because he's God. And the life he has to come for us is so far greater than we've ever imagined. And I hope it helps people want to seek him, just like I did. You know, that it opened my mind. And when I started to seek, I really did find, oh, there's something not only true here, but good.
And that is your heart for this book, John, Imagine the God of Heaven. This book is more about God than it is about heaven or eternity in a sense, you want to encourage people to seek God. And that's your greatest hope, isn't it?
Because as I subtitled it, God is the love you've always wanted.
Yes.
Like what we don't realize is all of the relationships we have on this earth, they're a microcosm of a greater relationship that we were meant for.
Yeah.
And when you're right there, then all of our relationships go deeper. They don't go less, they go deeper. Here on this earth and forever in eternity.
That's so powerful, John. I'm so thankful you've written this book and that you've joined us today. Thank you so much for your time with us.
Oh, it's been great to be here.
If this interview has impacted you the way it's impacting me, you can call our prayer partners at 1-866-273-4444. Maybe it's time to pray some of those prayers that change the reality of other people. And of course, imagine the God of Heaven, 70 stories of near-death experiences, a one-of-a-kind glimpse into the heart of God and what He is doing in the world. We want you to get this book into your hands. We know that it will strengthen your faith. It will encourage you in ways you might not have imagined as you imagine the God of Heaven. And don't forget to get this book into the hands of those you love who are seeking answers, who might be feeling skeptical about God. This is an incredible gift in your life, and we want to get this into your hands. Call 1-800-265-3100 or go to crossroads.ca. Wow. I mean, this conversation, I'm telling you, you couldn't see it, but with John Burke there, I was crying. I was crying. When he shared the story of those women praying for that, for one of the one man who's the son of one of the women, and these radiant lights going up into heaven, I started crying and I almost couldn't control myself because I really realized, I felt convicted. I'm going to be honest with you, just really convicted that, you know, all the times I've thought about certain people in my life who have hurt me, and I haven't prayed for them to know God. I haven't prayed for them to experience the hope of Jesus and the healing of having a relationship with Jesus. Instead, I've just sort of held that back. I didn't pray for them. I didn't petition for them, you know, because they've hurt me. And I'm talking deep hurts. I'm not like, oh, they, you know, they didn't, you know, steal $100 from me or make me lose my job. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking significant stuff that, you know, has impacted me for my whole life's journey. And yet when I listened to this story, I thought to myself, you know, I'm supposed to be praying and petitioning for those people, for everybody, like everyone we're coming in contact with. We, you know, and some are put on our hearts more than others, but you know, when the hope of Jesus enters someone's life, when the love of God enters someone's life, they radically change. And we see that from the stories John shares about the people who come back from their near-death experiences. They didn't know Jesus, many of them, when they died, but they encounter Him and they come back and they're completely different people. And then as I, you know, listen to John talk about people praying and interceding, that's what it's called. You intercede for others and for their, for them to know God and for them to have salvation in Jesus and for them to experience the God of Heaven. I know that I need to be doing that. I need to be doing that for the people who need it most. And they're often the people who have hurt us the most, right? Because they're struggling under darkness. You know, I always say hurt people hurt people. And I've got to take my own advice on that and pray for those who have hurt me that they'll have an encounter with Jesus. And I also need to be praying more for my family members, just overall. You know, many of them I have nice relationships with, but I'm not petitioning God the way I need to be for them to come into relationship with Jesus. And I know the blessing that is there for them, unconditional love they'll experience, the healing in their heart, mind, emotions, the relationships that will become stronger, just the layers of the difference it makes. And so actually right now, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Often I pray, but could we pray in agreement for our loved ones to come to faith in Jesus, no matter what they've done to us? No matter if, you know, they just are chugging along well in life and, you know, maybe you think, I didn't think of them to, you know, need to follow Jesus. I don't know if they need, well, you know, the Bible says we all need Jesus. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we all need Jesus because we were designed to know God. You know, the Garden of Eden, we were designed to be in communion with God. So we know that sin entered the world and through that brokenness, a big gap between us and God erupted, but Jesus came to be the bridge. You know, think of the cross as the bridge and the gap
And now we can know God fully. And our loved ones, you know, if you find the most beautiful piece of gold in the world, and I don't know, it's so lovely, and it's radiating out of your hand, don't you want to show it to everyone around you, the people who maybe don't even know that exists? So that's what we got to do right now. And I'm asking you to pray with me that we would pray for our loved ones, that they would come to know Jesus. And let's pray together right now in faith, standing firm, in belief together, that our loved ones will come to know Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time together. God, I thank you for the listeners. God, I thank you for this family of followers of Jesus and this family of those who you are seeking, God, who you are pursuing, and they're listening right now. God, we lift up our family members to you, our husbands, our wives, God, our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our sisters, our brothers, our in-laws, God. We lift up our aunts and our uncles, God. We lift up our fathers and our mothers. And God, we stand before you now and we ask, God, and we name them. We're each going to name them in our heads. We ask that you would move mightily in the life of this person. That God, you would speak into their hearts, you would speak into their lives, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus in their lives. God, we come against every scheme of the enemy. We come against darkness, God. We come against addiction. We come against evil intent, God. We come against bondage, God. We come against mental health battles. We come against emotional pain, God. We come against whatever is holding them back from knowing you. And God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit would go to them now, and that Holy Spirit, you would move in their hearts and their minds, that you would fill the room where they are, that you would bring other people who are followers of Jesus into their lives, in the grocery store, God, at work, at the gas station, God, at the dental office. And God, we thank you that you would move mightily through others to reach our loved ones, and they would come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful that we can pray together in unity. And I just think about our conversation with John Burke a few moments ago, you know, those rays of light going up. You know, think we just did that together. We just did that together for the people that we named in our minds. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Let's continue to pray for the people we love, that they will come into a personal relationship with Jesus and their lives will be transformed. And for generations, that will ripple down. Well, God, I'm just so thankful for our time together. And I almost started praying again. Well, God, I just want to say, actually, I was praying. I wanted to start praying again, but that God would use us. And, you know, just keep using us to pray for our loved ones, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our loved ones, to live out the gospel for our loved ones. You know, there's an old saying that for some people, our lives are the only Bible they'll ever read. So they're watching our actions. They're watching how we live this out. And we've got to show love and mercy and kindness and justice and peace and prayerfulness and really just live for Jesus and help others know what it's like to live for him by sharing Jesus with them, praying for them that they would come to know Jesus. If you need more prayer, please call our prayer partners, 1-866-273-4444. Anytime, night or day, the prayers or calls are anonymous and they will encourage you. We do have people who call in for many years for their loved ones to come to salvation in Jesus. And I have the stories. I know the stories. I see them come in daily through an internal messaging system we have here at Crossroads and 100 Huntley Street, where people do come to faith after 2 years and 5 years and 10 years. And they call back in and they say, my husband made a decision for Jesus. My mom made a decision for Jesus. After all this time, my son has made a decision for Jesus. They're no longer doing this. They're living this way. We hear the stories all the time. We even hear marriages reconciled, people getting remarried because both have now chosen to follow Jesus, and miracle stories. So keep up your prayers and believe and know that you serve a mighty God. He's the God of heaven, and he is filled with love for you and those you love. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you today. I have loved our time together. I'm so thankful for you. Remember, God loves you and we love you. Until next time.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.